Shalom Aleichem Rabbeisai. Good evening. We are in Chavis Halavavis Shah HaBitachan. Perek. Hey. Please don't be bored. We're going to recap again. We are in the middle of the Chavis Halavavis' delineation of the differences between a person who has Bitachan and a person who does not have Bitachan, in terms of the way they go about their parnasa. Now again, I'm recapping to a very boring extent. The premise of the discussion is that they are both doing hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is a part of the picture of bitachin. What then are the differences? So this time I'm going to give you a break and I'm not going to recount all the differences that we saw. Meanwhile, we will begin from what we are up to. And we are in Hachamishi. In my late type edition, it's page Shin Samach Zayin. I'm sorry, give me a moment. Let me see if I can get rid of the background noise by closing the door. Hachamishi. Difference number 5. We began discussing yesterday. And it is the understanding that when I do my ishtadlis, it has to be something that is in perfect line with my Olam Haba agenda. To expand that a bit more, if I understand that I'm doing my ishtadlis only because it's something that Hashem expects of me, I also understand that I'm only doing it in the manner that He wants me to do it. And He does not want me to do it in a way that conflicts with His will. To give a simple example of this, this will be another difference between the person with bitachon and the person without bitachon. The person without bitachon is panicking. He's panicking, and if suddenly he's faced with the only way it seems that he can make ends meet right now is by transgressing halacha, what can he do? He has to have bread on the table. But the person with bitachon is not panicking. He understands that Hashem will decide what he should have. Just what? Hashem wants me to do ishtadlis, but Hashem also put limits on the ishtadlis that He wants me to do. And if this is something that Hashem doesn't want me to do, I won't do it. I let go. And I say, now let's see what Hashem has in mind for me. And if He had in mind for me to go through a tough period, I'll go through that tough period. If He had in mind for me to get the parnasa otherwise, I'll get the parnasa otherwise. If we want just a coarse example, this would be the case of a person who's offered a job that requires him to work on Shabbos. So once again, this is obviously a ishtadlus that Hashem doesn't want you to do. It's not in line with His will. We work with the premise that any ishtadlus that Hashem wants you to do has to be within the parameters of His will, and therefore He won't do it. Or if the only way to make ends meet this month is through dishonesty, I understand that this is not the ishtadlis that Hashem wants of me now. And right now, I am exempt of ishtadlis. I sit back, I do nothing. Now, I'm putting a little asterisk there. We'll get back to that. I sit back, I do nothing, and I see what Hashem has in mind for me. Now, do nothing is not exactly so. You should still be conscientiously looking around for other opportunities. But if right now, it seems that the only ishtadlis that's available to me is something that conflicts with Hashem's will, I will let go. I'll let go comfortably. Okay. Now, these were coarse examples. The examples can get finer than this, and this is something that will be more relevant. It will be commonly relevant to, let's say, a working environment. This is already not an issue of blatant halacha. But sometimes a person is in a working environment that is very not conducive for spiritual standards. Whether it's the language there, whether it's the way people are dressed there, whether it's behavior there, whether it's the way the opposite genders relate to each other. This is also something that can come sometimes provide an isayin, and where bitachon is required to say, I see that this is spiritually damaging for me. I see that this is something that is going to take down my level, It's going to turn me into a coarser person than I should be. And the person doesn't kid himself. He's honestly faces the fact that, yes, he will be affected by these things. People will sometimes make that mistake. I won't be affected by my surroundings. That is very, very, very unlikely. The effect can sometimes be subtle, sometimes not felt, but most often it's there. And this requires great gvura for a person to be able to say, this is not the job that Hashem wants me doing. This is not the environment that Hashem wants me spending my time in every day. Or, let's say a job that is perfectly kosher in that respect, but it's immensely demanding. It's immensely demanding, and it leaves the person no time at all for other spiritual pursuits. You can chapara in a quick shachris, you know, when you get a Monday and Thursday for a half hour deal. Mincha Meir, forget about it. That he does in his office by himself. And learning, next Gilgul. Well, you know what? Next up, Yomi cycle. Here is also something that sometimes a person has to say, this is not what Hashem wants of me. Or sometimes it'll be a job that leaves no time at all for family, for the other duties that a person has in his life that he understands that Hashem expects of him. Yes, as we keep discussing, hishtadlus is an expectation that Hashem has of you, but it is not absolutely top priority. There are other things. It has to be balanced along with the other duties, the other things that Hashem expects to be in our life, which includes a proper davening routine, a proper learning routine, a proper family routine, other duties that Hashem expects of us. And here also, it's sometimes a fine line to say, perhaps this job is not conducive to the other areas of life that I must be involved in. Okay. So that is how the person with bitachon approaches it. So let's again see how he says this inside.
A person with bitachon engages in material efforts.
He's constantly aware that he's operating on a double agenda here. He's trying to care for himself materially while at the same time trying to maintain and also promote his spiritual welfare, his Olam Haba state. Everything we're doing is also affecting our state in Olam Haba.
And when he
ascertains that a certain means of parnasa is conducive for his spirituality and for his material needs, he'll take that.
But
something that will take down his spiritual level or will cause him to actually transgress halacha, to go against Hashem's will, he won't engage in that. Because he's trying to benefit himself through this ishtadlus, through this material effort. He doesn't want to cause himself more harm than the good it's going to bring.
However, a person who does not have that bitachon,
he sees the material efforts as his lifeline. If I don't take whatever job is available to me, I am lost. He relies on them totally. Whatever is available to me, I have to take. I have to have something. He'll take a job, whether it is recommended spiritually, whether it's commendable spiritually, or whether it's not. And when it comes to parnasa, you know, my hour that's dedicated for learning, then I'm focused on Olam Haba. But when it comes to parnasa, there are no Olam Haba considerations. Right now I'm focused on bringing in the money at the end of the month.
Whereas
Shlomo HaMelech said, Chacham yorei v'sar me'ra. A Chacham is always fearful that something might sully
his spiritual state, and therefore he turns away from the wrong things. Okay, so that is difference number five. Will the person feel compelled to utilize any means of ishtadlis available to him? Or is it clear to the person that my ishtadlis must fit into the parameters, must fit into the framework? It has to submit to the limitations of my performance as a Jew, of my spiritual life. Or in other words, as important of value as ishtadlus is, it is not all important. There are other values that it has to make way for. Nashishi, what is difference number six? We'll just introduce this. We probably won't be able to get too far tonight. It's more of a symptom of bitachon, meaning ishtadlis is often a competitive business. Ishtadlis is often a competitive business. And when a person is an intense go-getter, his ishtadlis efforts, this is just the way of the world. We see that this is the way it works. It can cause tension between people. It can earn a person enemies. It can turn a person into a very unpleasant person. It can cause him to do things that he wouldn't do in his ordinary social reality. I once met somebody I was a young boy at the time. My father had a business meeting with somebody, and he showed us his tie. It was a very, very fancy silk tie. And he said, I got this tie from, he named one of the very famous mafia names, one of the names that was in the headlines on a regular basis, and who ultimately ended up, I think he ended up behind bars for the rest of his life. But he said, I got this tie from that fellow. We both looked at him, you know, kind of like awe slash horror. But you know Pliny Almighty. Anybody from the New York area knows the name. As of about, I don't know, 30 years ago. So he said, you know this fellow? Yeah, I know him well. Very nice person. So we both looked at him, very nice person. It seems some of the things he did weren't so nice. He said, look, with him, business was business. But as a friend, he was a very, very nice person. He was generous, nice, but business was business, right? That's a bit of an extreme example, but it can be true to lesser degrees, which can already be relevant. That yes, when it comes to business, a person can act in ways and toward people ways they wouldn't necessarily be proud of. So this is also where bitachon comes into play. Because bitachon will also very much dictate where a person will draw his lines when it comes to others in his own business interests. But okay, we introduced the point. Again, on Wednesday, we have to end a few minutes early. We'll end here for tonight. Everybody have a healthy and successful and productive continuation of your week.
Thank you.